If you want your windows there in weeks, pick up the phone and just text Reese.
Casey, congrats on winning $15,000 in new windows from Reese Windows and Doors.
Thank you.
What made you decide to enter?
I was listening to the radio on the way to work. The storms had just hit the area, and I thought to myself, I don't want to board up anymore.
Now, you must have been surprised when you got that call.
I was stunned.
Well, good news, they're doing it again.
That's right. Just text the word
JOY
right now to 20129 for your chance to win, just like I did.
And good luck from Reese Windows and Doors.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Wow. A lot going on, and our great president heading to Texas today. President Trump is going to be meeting with the families of those who lost loved ones in the floods, and it's going to be a really poignant moment. Let me just say this. The president, he really excels at this kind of thing. It's a terrible tragedy what happened in Texas, and there are so many people right now trying to make political hay over all of this, and it's really unfortunate. At the end of the day, and there are a lot of people out there, you've got this one group of people saying, oh, it was people out there, the scientists, cloud seeding, and it went out of control, and now we're getting these massive floods all over the world. You've got others who say that President Trump ended up cutting out all of the National Weather Service people, therefore nobody could sound the alarms. And you've got people blaming everybody. Now, I just want to say something here about this, because I think this may very well be one of those moments when there's really no one specifically to blame for anything. It was just a horrible tragedy. I mean, nobody thought that there would ever be a 30-foot wall of water that would go through the, you know, Texas Hill Country. I mean, these kinds of things, they can't be predicted. You just don't know, and especially in the wee hours of the morning. Now, the reality is the National Weather Service was not only staffed, it was overstaffed. They had additional people on duty that night. So you can't really fault them. The good people of Kerr County, they chose not to spend over $1 million on some sort of an advanced flood alert system. Okay, they were trying to save a few dollars. You can't fault them for that. And even then, I'm not sure that would have even mattered much when you only have 30 minutes to try and get out of harm's way. I don't know. But if you are looking for somebody to blame here, and again, we're not in the blame game on this. I just think it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But it turns out that Camp Mystic, which is where for more than 100 years that camp has been located there, for more than 100 years, the wealthy and prestigious, the famous, the powerful, they have sent their daughters to this camp. And it turns out that much of the camp is built in a floodplain. But again, over 100 years, they haven't had too many problems. And then all of a sudden, you have this devastation. So anyway, President Trump going down there, and he'll be meeting with everybody. It certainly seems as though they've been getting all the resources they need from FEMA. So there you go. We've got a lot to talk about today. It is also Open Line Friday. And let me explain how this works. We've got a lot of new listeners out in the panhandle of Texas. This is the moment of the week where you can call in and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you have a question you want to ask, you can, and if it's off topic, you can do that. You know, during the week, we try to keep everybody laser focused on whatever the big issue of the day is. But today, it's anything goes. So I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this, 901-260-5926. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. So we start in Washington because we have a little bit of homework for you fine folk to do today. And we have a disturbing story coming out of the Senate. Now, I don't like to be the guy who says, I told you so. But we're dealing with some rhinos on Capitol Hill. And we're dealing with Republicans who do not want President Trump or his agenda to succeed, period. I mean, that's really ultimately it in a nutshell. So many of you are going to be shocked by this news, but Congress has yet to codify the big Doge cuts. They haven't done it yet. And the clock is ticking. They have until July 18th to do this. And this is what we call the rescissions package. And Senator Marsha Blackburn, she'll be joining us next week to talk about all of this. But this is a big deal. Because now at least four, and hear me on this, there will be more. And I'm specifically thinking of Tom Tillis and Mitch McConnell. But right now, four lawmakers on the record, all Republicans in the Senate, who say they do not want to defund National Public Welfare Radio or the Public Welfare Broadcasting Network. In other words, they want to keep funding for NPR and PBS. All of that is under the umbrella of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So they get $1.1 billion of your tax money. $1.1 billion of your tax money. And I want to name these senators, and I don't care if you live in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, or Wichita, Kansas, or Salem, Oregon, or Portland, Maine. I don't care where you live. I want you to pick up the phones, and I want you to call these offices and demand that these renegade Republican rhinos end their rebellion against Donald Trump. This is unacceptable. And you tell them I said to call. But here are the names. Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska, Mike Rounds out of South Dakota, Susan Collins out of Maine, and Dan Sullivan out of Alaska. So you've got the entire delegation in Alaska has gone rogue. And their argument is that all of the small towns and communities need their NPR station. Is that true? You see, I don't believe that's true. I think there are plenty of other methods of communication out there available to people in small towns and communities that may not be serviced by a TV station or a large radio station. Plenty of other opportunities. But you're telling me that these four, and by the way, that's all they need. These are all the votes they need to preserve the funding for NPR and PBS. Now, President Trump is pretty hot about all of this. The rescissions package, more than $9 billion in cuts. Now, keep in mind, Elon promised us $2 trillion, but we got $9 billion. It also eliminates money for USAID. All of this is now on the line because of these four Republican senators. So President Trump last night put out the following statement. And here's what he had to say. It is very important that all Republicans adhere to my rescissions bill and, in particular, defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, all caps, by the way, PBS and NPR, which is worse than CNN and MSDNC put together. The president went on to say, any Republican that votes to allow this monstrosity to continue broadcasting will not have my support or endorsement. And I say, good for you, Mr. President. Good for you, sir. But what does it say, though, that these senators think they are able to stand up and defy Donald Trump on one of the most important things that he is doing right now? Who do these people think they are? But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you better believe that Tom Tillis and Mitch McConnell are going to be joining this group of rogue Republicans. Folks, I am just incredibly concerned now about where we are going into the midterms. We've still got time to fix all of this. We've got time to do all the right things. But I am telling you, the Republican caucus in the House and the Senate, the caucus, They concern me because they are not unified and they are not on board with the president's agenda. Just think back just a few moments ago. Nobody ever defied in the Democrat Party. Nobody defied Joe Biden. Everybody voted lock, stock, and barrel. If there was a Democrat piece of legislation, everybody got behind it. But these rhino Republicans, you can't trust them. And you know why? Because they're all part of the Uniparty. They all go to the same country clubs. Their kids all go to the same private schools. They go to the same Georgetown cocktail parties. It's just a big club for them. And we don't matter except at election time when they come out there and they feed you fried chicken or whatnot, give you some watermelon, and then they got your vote. And I am telling you, folks, every time I see this stuff, I'm reminded of how important it is that we have term limits. Because these people now, they think they don't answer to anybody. They don't even think they answer to Donald J. Trump. Do you understand the hubris that takes? This is unbelievable. So we're going to take your calls on this. I want you to give these lawmakers a telephone call. We have their names up on the website. Very easy for you to see there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Here's the question. Do you believe that NPR and PBS should be defunded? I mean, it really is that simple. It's a simple question. Should the Corporation for Public Broadcasting be defunded? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America was built on stories of courage, sacrifice, faith, and freedom. But somewhere along the way, we stopped telling those stories, and that's why I want to tell you about Angel Studios, a platform that's bringing those stories back. Stories that honor our values, stories that remind us of who we are. They've released films like The Sound of Freedom, A Bold Stand Against Child Trafficking. They brought us the Tuttle Twins, teaching our kids what public schools will not, about liberty, personal responsibility, and the foundations of this great nation. With The King of Kings, they're showing the world that Jesus Christ is still the greatest story ever told. And new projects like The Last Rodeo and Green and Gold celebrate the heart of America, hard work, family, and legacy. But here's what makes Angel different. You get a voice. When you join the Angel Guild, you don't just watch the films. You help decide what gets made. You support the kind of stories that make this country strong. And you become a part of a movement to preserve the values we hold dear. This is how we take our culture back, by standing for truth one story at a time. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday to you. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, I forgot to mention this earlier. There was a huge, huge ruling involving the Churches of America and the Internal Revenue Service. Now, this goes all the way back to LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Back before he was president, he was the Senate Majority Leader. And this guy was just ruthless and corrupt. He really was. And they were all about fixing elections and buying elections. Really bad stuff. So LBJ, back when he was the Senate Majority Leader, implemented what became known as the Johnson Amendment. And at the time, LBJ was facing fierce opposition from the religious community there in Texas. He was in the middle of an election season, and a lot of conservative groups were very unhappy with LBJ, and they wanted to remove him from the Senate. And that many of them were talking about these issues from the pulpits. So LBJ pushed through legislation that would have stopped, and that did stop, churches from being able to endorse candidates. Any 501c3 was not allowed to get involved in politics and was not allowed to endorse any candidates. Now, here's the problem with that. Only one component of the religious community agreed to do that. But black churches, by and large, and I mean by and large, black churches have always ignored the Johnson Amendment. They never got in trouble, right? But if you had a Republican candidate showing up at a white church, a white evangelical church, and said something, their tax exempt status would have been revoked in a heartbeat. Now, there are a lot of people out there who say that the church should forego all tax exempt status, and they should get out there and they should be allowed to endorse these candidates. Well, the good news is that a new ruling has completely eliminated that. So now churches are allowed to endorse candidates. Pastors are allowed to endorse candidates from the pulpit. And the reality of it is this, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Now that the churches have the right, should they invoke that right? Should churches be allowed to endorse a political candidate? Should your pastor from the pulpit be allowed to endorse a political candidate, whether it's for mayor or president or anything in between? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So again, the IRS is lifting the ban on churches getting involved in politics and specifically endorsing candidates. You know, it's interesting. Whenever I go and I'm invited to speak at a lot of places, as a matter of fact, coming up in August, I'll be speaking at the Gun Owners Association of America. They're huge, huge conference in Knoxville. It's going to be a lot of fun. But every now and again, I'm invited to speak at a church. And I'm always excited to be able to do that. And just so you know, we never charge churches. If, you know, they want to cover our travel expenses, that's great. We appreciate that. But I never want to take money away from the mission of the church, which is sharing the gospel and helping people in the community who might be in need. So we do that as a courtesy. I'll never forget years ago, I was, and I'm actually still a member of a speaker's bureau, and, you know, they book you for events and whatnot. And we sort of got into it because they were wanting to charge churches for me to come and spend. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. And anyway, they relented, and we certainly appreciate all of that because, again, we never want to interfere with the mission of the church. All that to say, whenever I go and speak, people are very surprised that my speeches and my messages are not overtly political. And I think it throws people for a loop because they would expect me to come in there with, you know, Republican red meat, and that's just simply not what I do. And whenever I'm going and I'm speaking at a church, I want to use that as an opportunity to encourage Christians to engage the culture and to provide the historical context for Christians being engaged in the culture, for Christians running for public office, for Christians taking a stand on the very difficult issues in their community. And those are the sorts of things that we talk about whenever I'm speaking in a congregation. But look, there are others that want to get up there, and they believe that we should be turning our churches into rallies for the Republican Party. And I don't know about that. I have a problem when the Democrats do it, and I've got a problem when the Republicans do the same thing. And I'm not sure what that would look like. I mean, what would happen if your pastor gets up there one Sunday and says, okay, I'm endorsing so-and-so. And what happens if you don't like so-and-so? Is that going to be a problem for you? Anyway, the filing creates what the IRS did was it created a narrow exception to the so-called Johnson Amendment. And keep in mind, the whole point of LBJ doing that was to shut up the churches. He wanted to shut them up. And when you step back and when you think about this for just a moment, and this is serious here, what you're doing is you're telling the church they're not allowed to do something. And in some way, you're silencing the church, you're silencing sermons on, for example, ballot referendums, how we're supposed to behave and what we're supposed to do as Christians and civil government. I mean, there's a lot there, but there's also room for a lot of abuse of that. And I would hate to think that we're going to be turning our church houses now into these political rallies for the Republicans, much like what the Democrats have done over on the left with all of the black churches of America. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. Hey, by the way, head over right now to Amazon. And if you haven't done so, pick up a copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get a copy, hardcover, Kindle, audio version. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. All right. Wow. A lot going on today. Let's get to the phone lines. I'm excited to talk to you. We're going to start our day in beautiful Collierville, Tennessee, one of the prettiest towns in America, and just great, great people there, including our great listener, Justin from Collierville. Hey, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, I just wanted to call and just comment about churches being able to endorse candidates now. And I'm so happy to have that transparency, because there's a lot of churches that claim to be Christian and promote Christian principles or really biblical principles. But this is going to out a bunch of churches once they start endorsing candidates, and the candidates don't necessarily follow biblical principles. Of, you know, I'll say for instance, is the issue of life and promoting life. That should be like a red flag, especially if any candidate isn't pro-life and a church is promoting them. So I think it's great all the way around. I think it keeps churches more accountable, and also keeps the candidate accountable to the church maybe they are even a member of.
You know, I think that's, I mean, that is a great way of looking at it. Justin, I've always believed, though, that the problem with the Johnson Amendment is it's been so confusing. And a lot of, I don't think it's all that confusing, but you'll have big churches, and the mega churches are the ones that are probably the worst offenders, because they're running those churches like big businesses. And I mean, it's, that's just the nature of it. We're talking about, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And many of them will use the Johnson Amendment as an excuse not to talk about some of the key culture war issues of the time. For example, the entire LGBTQ movement.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to be especially, you know, from a pastoral standpoint, is are the two things that I'm going to be looking for if a church who they endorses the candidates, do they promote life, and do they consider marriage as a sacrament between man and women? So if they promote candidates that are outside of that, I'll have a hard time visiting that church.
Yeah, good for you. I know one church in the Memphis area. I'm not going to name it. I don't go there, but I'll say that much. But the church actually, during, this was right after COVID or during the COVID, they were holding Bible studies, encouraging their white parishioners, an evangelical church, encouraging their white parishioners to repent for the color of their skin. I got to tell you, if I had been a member of that church, I'd have been gone in two seconds.
They should open their Bible and read Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter, because we're all one in Christ. But, you know, maybe they don't know where a Bible is.
They may not. That part of the they may have edited that out of their Bible. All right. Justin, good hearing from you, my friend. And stay cool there in Collierville. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I wanted to inform your listeners on this this rogue judge, Joseph LaPlante in New Hampshire, who was put in, nominated by George Bush Jr. in 2007, he's the one that slapped an injunction on Trump on birthright citizenship. Okay? Now, the thing here is, if you go back to January 2023, okay, the dirty Irish Sea Chair, Chris Hager, left the primary open in New Hampshire. Then the Secretary of State, so when he left the primary open, the cutoff date was the first Wednesday in June 2023. The Secretary of State, David Scanlon, extended the cutoff date to first Wednesday in October, 4 extra months. Just in the month of September, 3,542 Democrats who were urged by Reid Hoffman and Nikki Haley swapped out to vote against Trump in the primary. That was nearly 15,000 in those 4 months. Now, we took them to trial. Some three friends of mine took that to trial on January 5th, 2024, okay, before the primary. And the guy that held doing the case was Joseph LaPlante, and he ruled against us, okay, instead of saying we had to prove a standing or a president. It's a trick word because they don't want to rule on the fact that the Secretary of State violated the law by extending it 4 months.
Well, look, let's bring this back, though. Let's bring this around to birthright citizenship again, where this, again, is another key component of President Trump's agenda. And here's where I get concerned, Dan, is that we've seen a lot of great political theater over the past 6 or 7 months. But the reality is that at the end of the day, none of this has been codified, and we're going to have to codify it. And if we do not do that, then this will all be for nothing. And you're going to have all of these, you're going to have all the Mexicans coming across the border to have their babies or from China or wherever. And it's just going to continue to get worse.
Yeah. And the other thing here is these dirty, corrupt judges are legislating from the bench are being funded by dirty organizations like Act Blue, Arbella, ACLU, State Democracy Forward, Democracy Forward, CREW, the 1630 Pact, and which also funds the Marxist, Socialist, Communist, Democrats, Attorney General, District Attorneys, District Judges, lawyers, academia, protesters, and the media. And the thing that's going on here is all part of the 501, all right?
Yeah, no, I hear you, Dan, and it's there's a lot to unravel there, and that's what Trump is trying to do, and Congress has to get on board, and they've got to move these things through. Dan, I appreciate your call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to our good friend Joe from Ellijay, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, you got the best program around. I just want to say that I loved Reagan. I thought he was a great president, but I think Trump is by far the best. I mean, the stock market is breaking records every day. I've never seen in my lifetime, I've never seen people so fired up as they are now about any president like they are about Trump. And, of course, I think your radio show is a big help for Trump and any conservative. But I'm just want to let you know, I know you've got a lot of other callers, so I won't hang around long, but keep up the good work, because I think one of the reasons Trump is doing so well is people like you that are broadcasting across the nation and praising what he's doing for the taxpayers. So I'm just real happy and appreciate everything you do. Just keep up the good work.
Joe, you're a good man. Always good hearing from you there in the North Georgia mountains. And thank you for calling in today. By the way, this evening, 5 o'clock Eastern, The Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. It's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, Newsmax just going public on the New York Stock Exchange, and millions of people are joining our news revolution. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows with Rob Schmidt, Grant Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty, and more. So here's what I want you to do. Download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV. Start watching today. It's absolutely free. And check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Well, there's a very interesting story coming out of Utah. Bath and Body Works facing a federal lawsuit over preferred pronouns. Jocelyn Bowden says she was fired from her job as a store manager at Bath and Body Works in Layton, Utah. And apparently she declined to address a transgender employee, a brand new employee, by her preferred pronouns. Now, the trans worker is a woman pretending to be a man. Ms. Bowden said that her religious convictions prevented her from using male pronouns when addressing a woman. First Liberty Institute representing Ms. Bowden, and they say Bath and Body Works violated the religious rights policies outlined under Title VII. They also allege that the company violated the Utah Anti-Discrimination Act by retaliating against Ms. Bowden for expressing her religious beliefs. So here's the issue, and there are multiple, and I'm glad First Liberty Institute is involved in all of this, but the owners of Bath and Body Works clearly have not come to terms with the fact that God created men and women, male and female, and pronouns are assigned accordingly. And that is how that works, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why that is absolutely so difficult for people to understand. Also, by the way, have you gone to see the new Superman movie? It opened up last night around the nation. Reviews not so good. People are going and they're like, eh, okay. And basically, I mean, some people love it, and most people are, it's like, okay, it's all right. But anyway, the review's not so good for the all-new woke Superman movie, and here's the thing. They're making Superman a beta male. I mean, that's basically what they did. So he's like touchy-feely, you know, kind of a superhero character. Anyway, we can confirm that Truth, Justice, and the American Way was replaced with Truth, Justice, and all of those good things. So they reworked Superman's motto. You know, it's interesting. James Gunn, who's the director of the film, and I thought he did a great job in, what's the movie? The other movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. Thank you, Dylan. I thought that was a fine movie. You know, my favorite part of that, the favorite part was not the tree, and it wasn't, what is that critter? Was it a raccoon?
Yeah, Rocket the Raccoon.
Rocket the Raccoon. My favorite part was the 80s soundtrack.
Yeah. All the Guardians movies have really good soundtracks on them.
Great soundtrack. But man, has he messed, I don't know what got into his brain, you know, but you don't want to take an iconic character like Superman, and now it's all about politics. And it doesn't have to be, but he literally made it about politics, immigration, climate change. Oh, and here's the thing. But he's wrapping all of this around this idea that his version of Superman exudes basic human kindness. So if, for example, you've got a problem with, I don't know, say 20 million people crossing the border illegally, you are unkind. You are not a very kind person, and you are un-American. That's coming from the director of the movie. So again, why would you say that? Why would you say any of that before the movie comes out? Because you know what's going to happen. Because people are going to go to see the movie, and they're going to come away, and they're not going to enjoy it because they're looking at that movie, viewing the movie through that particular cultural lens. And so anyway, I got a couple of messages from people like, why, Stearns, why are you caught up on all of this? Why does this matter at all? Well, I think it does matter because this is an all-American superhero. This is an all-American character. This is us, right? This, when you look at the creators of the character, this is us created right here on American soil. And all of the good in us is portrayed in this character, who has all this power and ability, but uses it for good and not evil, using my comic book voice there. But it's sort of like, you know, for example, moon pies. Moon pies, they don't have those in Saudi Arabia. That's why they suck, right? We've got moon pies here. That makes us great. We've got Bojangles. That's an American product. They don't have that stuff over in France. They don't even put ice in the glasses over there. We got Coca-Cola. By golly. We've got McDonald's. Yes, I know we have diabetes too, but that's America's. We own that disease. Proudly. With great girth and gusto. We used to have the Boy Scouts, right? But look what happened. All these great iconic things, even football and baseball. I mean, you go to the baseball games, you know the one thing that strikes me about baseball? Nobody's there. I mean, back when I was a kid, man, the stands were, I mean, you could not get a ticket to baseball games. The stadiums were filled. Nobody's going anymore. You know why? Because they made baseball suck. Liberalism, wokeness. And it takes forever to get through a game. You know what else? The NFL. And Rush Limbaugh predicted that. Rush Limbaugh predicted that the feminazis would destroy the NFL. They're on their way to doing that. Look at the Boy Scouts. They're not even boys anymore. They're girls. I mean, how do you look at Coca-Cola? Look what they did to Coke. Anybody remember New Coke? The old Coke was fine. We didn't need a new Coke. The new Coke sucked. Actually, I think it was the same Coke. But anyway, that doesn't matter. You don't mess with the originals. Hear me on this. This is about who we are, ultimately. It's about the essence of America. And it's being co-opted by left-wingers in Hollywood and in marketing and other places to advance a very un-American agenda. This movie does not promote truth, justice, or the American way. It's the very opposite of the American way. And someone pointed out that all the female characters in this movie were actually the strongest. Because, again, Hollywood, they don't know how to deal with an alpha male character. They just don't. And the reason why is you got a bunch of guys driving Subarus making all these movies. I'm just saying. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For over 40 years, family-owned Reflections in Gold has been Venice's trusted jeweler. Why? Because they do things differently. Their unmatched customer service means they'll bend over backward to earn your trust. Hi, it's Lulu, and Reflections in Gold has the hottest top brands in jewelry. Or they'll craft a stunning custom design just for you. Need a repair? Their in-house experts will restore your favorite pieces guaranteed. Find them on Tamiami Trail in Venice or at ReflectionsInGold.com. Reflections in Gold, a reflection of your dreams in every piece.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. By the way, so excited about the reviews coming in on Star Spangled Blessings. I'm really excited about this this little book. It's been a lot of fun. Michelle Cox and I wrote this together, and it is doing so well. And I just really want everyone to read this and to be inspired over the greatness of our country. And so many of our young people, they, for whatever reason, they're just not plugged into what makes America great. And in this book, we sort of outline all of that for not just kids, but it's for adults. But it's a great devotion book to sit down and maybe in the morning, maybe once a week, just sit down and reflect on some of the stories that we share in Star Spangled Blessings. And it's been so encouraging. Our good friend General John Tykert just sent me a note, and I want to read this to you. General Tykert just retired. He was the base commander at Edwards Air Force Base, and he was also the base commander at Joint Base Andrews back when it was Andrews Air Force Base, and was just really so kind. He read the book. I didn't realize he got a copy of the book. He says, Todd, this was a wonderful devotional, so much so that I couldn't stop from binge reading it. And we've been hearing this from people who do not stop at day one. They just go all the way through and they read all of the, which is fine, but you know, you got to pace yourself because there's so many other great devotion books out there. But anyway, he posted a review on his LinkedIn, and I didn't realize you could even do something like that. And it was incredibly kind. And if you follow me on LinkedIn, you'll be able to read it. I shared a copy there. But we certainly appreciate Brigadier General John Tykert, who is also my military expert on Newsmax, writing just such a very kind review of Star Spangled Blessings. You can order a copy right now, Amazon.com. Head over there, check it out. Hardcover, audio version, Kindle, you name it, we've got it. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up.
At Coldwater Creek, we believe you don't have to look far to find clothing that reflects your lifestyle. Inspired by the effortless beauty of nature and designed for women who live with confidence. From artful prints to rich seasonal palettes, every piece is thoughtfully created with quality fabrics chosen for comfort and ease. Our styles are made to fit every woman in every size, with unique details and a sense of artistry inspired by the natural world. Whether you're traveling the globe or savoring life at home, Coldwater Creek brings you clothing that's easy to wear and endlessly versatile, made to move with you wherever life leads. This season, discover fresh looks and layers to refresh your wardrobe and find your new favorites waiting for you. Coldwater Creek, clothing, shoes, accessories, and more. Artfully designed just for you. Shop now at coldwatercreek.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, here's what I don't get about what's happening over in California today. Hello, everybody. Welcome, by the way, to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us. So You've got ICE agents, and they are going into these farms. And yesterday, hundreds of people were arrested when ICE agents targeted a couple of farms. One of them was growing marijuana. It's a legal operation. But what was illegal about it is you had all of these illegals. And on top of that, you had a bunch of kids. We're talking about little kids. You had little illegal alien children that were working the marijuana fields. And the Democrats are enraged, just enraged. But they're not enraged over the fact that little children are harvesting marijuana. They're upset that the children were arrested, were taken into custody by ICE agents for and now they won't have, I guess, the Democrats are really concerned because they're not going to have any marijuana. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's what they're concerned about. ICE has already found 10,000 missing children, 10,000 children that the Biden administration just lost. And you know why? Because they're working the marijuana fields over in California. And who loves marijuana? Who loves the devil's lettuce, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Democrats. They'll smoke anything. Except the pork butts. We do that. You know, that's okay. So anyway, there was a lot of chaos. So there was basically a riot. And this mob went off on the ICE agents. As a matter of fact, a gunman opened fire. This is all on video, which you can see at ToddStearns.com. And now the FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for whoever fired the shots. Thank goodness none of the ICE agents were injured. But anyway, Tom Homan is really upset about all of this, and he's very upset because they're using these little kids out there in the fields. And Governor Gavin Newsom, and by the way, Gavin Newsom is enraged that ICE is out there. Well, what about the fact that the kids were being used as slave labor, Governor? Why did you allow that, sir? And I'll tell you why, because he's smoking the devil's lettuce. All right, cut number two.
But Tom, it strikes me, unbelievable that the Democrats are not on board. When you look at this raid, these are, there were 10 juveniles that were legally brought across the border. You and I covered this under the Biden administration. I was down in Texas. We encountered a 8, 10-year-old, 12-year-olds coming across with just a name and an address and a phone number on their necks, the cartel ruthlessly sending them across. And yet now we know that 10 of them, 8 of which were unaccompanied minors, working illegally in a marijuana farm, and your agents go in and rescue them, essentially, and yet there is violent resistance to that. Does that upset you?
It certainly upsets me. And like I said, you know, the work men and women of ICE are doing is incredible. Look, we're looking for over 300,000 missing children. We've already found 10,000. Have you heard that anywhere? No, the media is simply not covering it. And look, this should be a nonpartisan issue. Arresting public safety threats and national security threats, everybody be on the same page on that. Rescuing children, I mean, it should be a nonpartisan issue. Everybody should be in lockstep on that. But they're not. The media's lying. The Democrats are taking, they don't want President Trump to be successful. I got news for him. We are being successful. Every illegal alien public safety threat we arrest makes this country safer. Every national security threat we take off the street and deport makes us safer. And we're rescuing thousands of children. The lives saved every day by ICE, the lives saved every day by Border Patrol, you know, are in the hundreds. So it's the only thing I can think of, Griff, if they hate President Trump more than they love their community. They hate President Trump more than they want, you know, safe communities. And there's just no other excuse why this is not, why this has become a partisan issue to take public safety threats off the street.
Exactly. And so to make matters worse, and this is just outrageous. To make matters worse, you've got the local media, and they're intentionally lying about what's happening. And you've got Democrats, elected leaders, and they're intentionally lying about what's going on. I've never seen anything like, I mean, just blatantly lying. So I just told you that these two farms were marijuana farms, and it's legal. I got no, look, it's legal. If they want to grow it, whatever. What do I care? It's legal over there. But here's how Congressman Jimmy Gomez of California, here's how he's describing this. And no, the G is not silent, Dell. It's not Yomez. But it is silent on like Guatemala and guacamole. The G is not silent here. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we do our very best to provide you with the best south of the border linguistics on this radio program. We try. So anyway, Congressman Gomez is out there, and he was enraged. I've never seen a man enraged, and we've got the I think we've got the audio. We don't have the audio. All right, so I will do my best to convey what Congressman Gomez was saying. Ay caramba! Señoras señoritas, they're just picking the strawberries. They're just a little strawberries. I got to work on my south of the border accent. My apologies. They're just strawberries. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm going to get in trouble. So anyway, he says, these people, they're just strawberry pickers. I completely botched that, ladies and gentlemen. My apologies. You expect more from this program. Well, I got to tell you, and the White House is weighing in on this, and I love it. The White House saying, that ain't produce, Holmes. That's a product. And it's true. They're not strawberries, sir. It's marijuana. They're doobies. The devil's lettuce, sir. That's what the children were picking. The devil's lettuce. And then you've got the congressman out there, and this is what I want to read to you what he wrote. The guy is just a liar. He says, how many MS-13 gang members are waking up at 3 a.m. to pick strawberries? Oh, yeah, zero. Trump said he'd go after bad hombres, but he's targeting the immigrant farm workers who feed America. And he goes on to say either he lied or he can't tell the difference. Well, Congressman, the MS-13 gang members probably were up at 3 a.m. selling what the children were picking in the fields. And it wasn't strawberries, sir. It wasn't strawberries. So all of this is going down in Ventura County, California, and the ICE agents are going in there. They're rescuing all of these poor little kids, and they're coming under attack. Literally, we have the video of them literally throwing giant rocks and other things at the ICE vans, breaking windows, causing all sorts of chaos. You got the guy opening fire on the ICE agents. It's just unbelievable what's happening right now. And the local media, the Democrats, they're all standing alongside the illegals, every single one of them. But here's what gets me. The people that were attacking the federal agents, they were all waving Mexican flags. And they were using those flags to try, the poles, to try and puncture the tires on these government vehicles. Now, they had to call out the National Guard. That's how bad it got. They had to call out the National Guard here. And there were people that they were interviewing out there saying this was their land, their land. Now, where have we heard that before? Yesterday, we played some audio from Memphis, Tennessee, where an illegal, the son of an illegal alien, said that the border didn't change. We're just the border. He didn't cross the border. The border crossed us. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, this is actually a war. It's an undeclared war, but you have Mexicans on American soil who are laying claim to our territory again. They want their property back. That's what this is all about. I mean, it really is that simple. And I don't know why it's so hard for our government to understand this. Even the Republicans, they don't get it. I remember at Fox News, they were terrified. Whenever I used the word invasion, they were horrified by that language. But that's exactly what's happened. And so they're being very intentional about this. It's not about picking strawberries or marijuana or whatever. This is about reclaiming territory they believe is theirs. And I guarantee you the Mexican government is behind all of this. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. So what better way to do that than to send 20, 30, 40, 50 million illegals across the border to occupy America? What did you think was going to happen? All that to say, and I may be out of line here by what I'm about to suggest, but when a federal vehicle comes under attack by people waving the flag of another country, you open fire. You protect yourself. But I'm getting a little bit tired of federal agents, law enforcement, being attacked by people waving flags of other countries, and we don't do anything about it. And the reason why this is getting worse is we're not putting a stop to it. We got to stop playing games here, folks. We've been invaded. These people are waving it in our faces. They're Mexican flags and whatnot. We've got to round them up and send them right back across the border. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. A story from Fox News caught my attention. A restaurant surcharge stirs up controversy. Business owners should be embarrassed. The story written by Deidre Bardolph. An extra fee added to a check at a restaurant left one diner shocked and fired up people on the internet. A Georgia man shared a photo of his receipt to Instagram, asking, WTF, what the heck is a living wage? So here's what the bill looked like. There was $13 for a Reuben sandwich, $12 for a hamburger, two sides of fries, $4 a piece, an 18% living wage fee. And that tacked on another $5.94, bringing his total to $40.75. Below the total was a disclaimer from the unnamed restaurant saying living wage fee of 18% added to each dine-in check. This fee goes directly to staff payroll and provides a living wage to our team. The notice also said that any tips given would be pooled and distributed among the entire team. The post received over 500 comments and was shared across the internet, including on Reddit. People debated the levy and brought up other controversial policies, such as a kitchen appreciation fee, a health and safety surcharge. Really? This is insanity. Now, I will tell you this. Again, the restaurant, I was at a restaurant the other day. And when the, actually I went in, it was a restaurant, but they sell their food as well, right? So you can, like a frozen meal or something like that. And I walked in and I got it and I was purchased. I walked in, they have the freezers there, and I picked out what I wanted and closed the freezer door. And there were a few other items I picked up, and I walked over to the cashier stand and I paid for my provisions. And so they have one of these, you've seen them, the flat screen. And so they flip it over so you can tap it and you can pay for it. A 30% tip popped up. That was the starting point, 30%. And I'm thinking, for what? I'm the guy that had to do all the work. Are they giving me a 30% tip? Is that the deal here? I mean, I had to drive over to the store, walk into the store, go get what I wanted. I'm paying for it. So what is the tip for? I didn't understand that. And in my business, and hear me on this, you can't put a zero, because then I become the lead story on CNN or MSDNC, that cheapskate Todd Starnes walked into a place, refused to tip. So I'm sitting here, and again, a 30% tip on whatever I was already buying. And then I had to go home. I had to cook it. I thought, well, maybe they're going to show up at my home, and they're going to prepare it for me. And I'll sit down at my dining room table, and they'll actually serve me. But I had to do that, too. I got a little thirsty midway through my meal. Guess what? I had to get up from my own table and go and get some water. I'm drinking more water these days. It's healthy. So I'm still trying to figure out what the heck is a 30% tip for. I mean, here's how bad it's going to be. Sooner or later, and this is going to happen down at your grocery store, and this is why I hate shopping at Kroger, because you've got to check everything out yourself. You got to load your bags, and sooner or later, they're going to have a tip option, and it's going to be mandatory. It won't be an option. You'll have to tip the people working at Kroger. I mean, where does this end? Why should the poor guy in Georgia ordering a Reuben sandwich for $13, why should that guy have to pay somebody's living wage fee? And again, if the restaurant owner, and maybe some restaurant owner can help me out understand this, why don't you just charge more for your food and make sure it's really good food? Because I'm telling you, I don't mind paying tips. I love paying tips. As a matter of fact, I literally, whenever I go out to eat, I always pay whatever the bill is. That's the tip. So let's just say we take a group of people out and it's a $200 bill, then that waiter's going to get a $200 tip from me. And that's the other issue I have, is that a lot of these restaurants, they pool together the tips. And I got a problem with that, because I want to honor the person who served me and did a great job of it. And I'll tell you what's happened, at least here locally. Whenever I walk into one particular restaurant, you can actually see the servers coming over to try to get to me so I can be in there at their table. Because, you know, I want to take care of people. And I'm able to do that, and I thank God that I'm able to do that. It's a blessing, and I want to be able to bless those waiters. I don't want to bless anybody else. I want to bless the person that's working to serve me. But what the – I mean, again, a living wage? I'm with the guy from Georgia. What the heck is a living wage? So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you starting to see these kinds of things – being included at your local restaurant that you go to? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901 260-5926. It is also Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Maybe you got a question, you want to take me to task for something? Well, you can do that too. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, my good friend Laura Loomer. I know people are always shocked by that, but I like Laura, and we've known each other for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, the very first time she came upon the national scene was on my old Fox show back in New York City. And Laura is very passionate. She is incredibly loyal to one person. That would be Donald J. Trump. And everything she reports is always accurate. So I feel comfortable sharing this information with you. Laura writing that FBI Director Cash Patel and Dan Bongino are livid with Pam Bondi over the DOJ memo and the lack of transparency over the Epstein files. Sources tell Laura Loomer that Bongino is taking the day off today from his job as Deputy Director of the FBI, and there's speculation on whether or not he will return to his job over his disgust with Bondi's lack of transparency and handling of the Epstein files. Bondi brought total embarrassment to Trump. She also lied to the American people. She says that Cash and Bongino are furious, and the blowback has caused them with her lack of transparency. Fascinating story. Fascinating story. We'll keep you updated on that. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Joe Messina, our great friend from Southern California, joins us. Joe, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well. Freeways are wide open here in Los Angeles. Easy to get in and out of the home improvement centers, and I'm getting through the car washes faster. So it's great. It's wonderful.
Is that – wow, nice. Well, I'm curious because I had seen – no, in all seriousness, I had seen those reports. I didn't know what to make of them. Is traffic really that light over there?
It is. It's really funny because I don't get far out of the area that I live in, but every once in a while I have to go down towards L.A. into what's called the San Fernando Valley, and it's usually, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes to almost to an hour depending on traffic. I get down there now in 25 minutes. And it is, you can see it and sense it. You can feel the difference right now. And I don't know if you've done this story, but in Los Angeles City, where they're actually going to put a moratorium on evictions because some people can't pay their rent because they're not working all of a sudden.
Wow. This is, I find this all to be fascinating. I didn't, but again, it goes back to exactly how many people are illegal in this country. And, you know, they always, I think they're always lowballing the numbers, Joe. And I think what you're describing may lend some credence to that.
Oh, totally agree with you. Because again, I've got relatives in Massachusetts and they're telling me the same thing, that traffic has lightened up quite a bit. And even some of the places they went to on a regular basis, they're not seeing the same people there. But I want to be clear about it. It's not that we don't like the people. My family are all immigrants from Italy, and there's a lot of good, hardworking, legal immigrants from Mexico and South America that come to this country the right way, and we welcome them. I mean, I love them. Seriously.
I think this is fascinating. Cal State University Los Angeles is shifting to online classes and will even allow faculty to work remotely. And I think there's a lot of concern about illegals. They're fearing the ICE raids.
Yeah. Oh, listen, just before all this really started to come down heavy, there was an article, and it was about how 1.2 million illegals, ultimately, as they found out, were actually getting money from going to community college. They were signing up for community college grants and access to the community college. Plus, they were getting grant money for books and living expenses and all of that. So I think if we wait a little while, we're going to see that number drop tremendously, too, as well.
Joe,
you're right about the online stuff. it's getting more abundant, if you would.
We were following the story that was unfolding yesterday afternoon in Ventura County with these marijuana farms that got raided. And what I'm just shocked here by this, Joe, because you've got Jimmy Gomez out there saying, oh, these people were just out there picking strawberries.
Uh-huh. So let me tell you, where I live, you know the area. There's a very large area on Highway 126 where that's what they do. They pick strawberries. They have oranges there and lemons or what have you. And usually, now that you bring it up, you see these crews. The cars are parked all along the sidewalk. And you see, you know, they're out there, they're picking this stuff. And now I see very few cars and very few people out there. Your comment about the marijuana farms, if you would, the north of where I live, too, when Congressman Mike Garcia was in office, he helped with a raid up in the Antelope Valley on those marijuana farms. And what ended up happening was, to your point, about 70% of the workers were illegals. So they picked them up along with shutting down the farm and that kind of stuff.
Joe, I'm just really fascinated by all of this. And the fact that your lawmakers there can just flat out lie. And I mean, it's not even trying to like color the, it's like flat out lying.
They don't just lie. This is a whole different country here. And the dictator known as the governor here, he decides he wants to do what he wants to do. You're not supposed to sign contracts with or rent apartments or anything along those lines to illegals. That's federal law. Governor Newsom has decided, I don't really care about federal law. We're our own place. We're our own country. If you don't rent to somebody or if you ask somebody their immigration status when you go to rent, you can be fined. So what are they supposed to do? They're in a real bad position. There was a very close friend of mine here who owned a business. He went through the whole process. He checked people out. And what he came to find out when he was raided by the feds about 2 years ago, that 80% of those guys had, even though he ran them through the proper channels, they were here illegally, and he got fined for every one of them. He had the paperwork, he had everything he needed, but they had all stolen Social Security numbers. So there's for California, there's almost a no win for the average business here.
Wow, so I'm curious. So you've got all these illegals, and if they're just staying in their homes, or maybe they're leaving, how is that going though for the economy, for local businesses? They're clearly the interstate seem to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, you know what's really interesting too is to watch the unemployment in the country as a whole. I just read an article. I don't know if you caught this, that over 2 million jobs since Trump has been in office have gone to American citizens, where 600,000, almost 600,000 jobs were lost by illegal immigrants who decided to self-deport or got grabbed at work. So here I'm seeing there's people working. It's not like we're not seeing an issue. It's ultimately what it boils down to is that there were so many illegals, and you're right. I shouldn't say this in a positive way, but I can't wait to see how the economy's been hit here in California by losing these people, them losing their jobs, afraid to go to work, not being able to pay their rent. You know, the mortgage people aren't going to wait just because you have illegals that aren't paying the rent. So it's going to be a real mess. I think you're going to see California get back pretty close to bankruptcy again here, and not in short order, but as time goes on.
Joe Messina with us, our great radio friend from Southern California, Santa Clarita, California. Joe, Homeland Security just a little while ago posted these images, and this kind of stuff just makes my blood boil. You have what looks to be, and I'm just going to say it appears to be National Guardsmen in this field yesterday in Ventura County, and they're standing there, and the people standing across from them are all wearing masks, and they're waving. I'm counting one, two, three Mexican flags, and Homeland Security says desecrating American soil by waving a foreign flag in defiance of our law enforcement is an outrage. It is an outrage, but what are we going to do about it? That's the broader question.
You know, I'm kind of liking making this in the same light of, you know, you got a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, and you pretty much let them run wild all their lives, and all of a sudden, you got your life straightened out, and you're going to slam the law down on these 16 and 17-year-olds. You're going to have a lot of trouble. The only way we're going to fix this is we're going to have to come down and start enforcing the law. We don't need new laws. We just need to start enforcing the ones we have. And I don't know how you feel about this, Todd. You and I haven't talked about it, but we don't have to give everybody citizenship. We have green cards. We have residency cards. We have temporary residency cards. Start looking at people that have been here that haven't really given us any trouble. And the only law, and I'm going to say that's a law that they broke, was coming here illegally. Let's do what Obama said we should do, what Clinton said we should do. They get fined. We find out who they are. They have an ID card. They have a Social Security number that they're paying into taxes. They can't vote. But let's get a handle on it. Trump is talking about just blanketing this approval of hotel workers and field workers and kind of ignoring it for now. I wouldn't ignore it. I'd go ahead and get them in the system if they're truly doing the right things other than being here illegally.
Well, I don't think I'd have a problem with that so long as there's some sort of a penalty attached. I mean, especially those. And here's what I don't get, Joe. Okay, fine. You've been here 20, 25 years. You got a job. You're not speaking the language. How are you paying your taxes? Have these people been paying taxes? Are they getting all of these benefits? So again, I don't think it's just as easy as just saying, okay, here's a green card. I think there's got to be some penalties attached.
Oh, totally agree with you. There needs to be penalties attached. There needs to be, you know what they're doing. If they're getting past the I-9 check and all that, the online check from the government, then they're stealing somebody's Social Security number. And that's a problem. That's an issue because when you go to file your taxes and you've claimed X amount of income and they come back at you with a letter, and I've had people who've had this issue, they come back at you with a letter and said, you've underreported your income. You're like, no, actually, no, I haven't. And now you get this whole back and forth with the IRS. It's not fair. It's not right to them. But I'm in agreement with you. Yeah, there has to be some kind of penalty, some kind of fee paid for the aggravation that you caused by being here. But you got to admit that there are some good people, I'll put it that way, that are working hard, came here for a better life for their kids. They just did it the wrong way. And we need to help them try to get that together instead of just constantly. I don't know, Todd, if you've talked to some of your pastor friends, but I've talked to some of the pastors up in our area, and they don't want to do anything or say anything. And I said, you guys, real compassion would be if you would take the people that are in your churches illegally, try to find some attorneys that will come up pro bono, and help them out. Help them do things the right way so they're not living in fear. This blame goes past the government, goes into our churches and other places too as well, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you on that. Joe, always good hearing from you. I will say this. You've got to be excited, though, about being able just to let loose in that Jag over on the interstates now.
Oh, you're not kidding, are you? I got to be careful, though, because my insurance is really high, and me and the judges know each other well in the traffic court. So I gotta be careful.
No doubt about it. All right, Joe Messina, everybody on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Have a great weekend, Joe.
God bless, Todd. Have a great weekend.
All right. Folks, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Going to your calls coming up next. All right. Does Pam Bondi, people are now calling for Pam Bondi to be fired. I don't know what happened to Pam. I really don't. I think she's a terrific lady. She's always been very straightforward and forthcoming. And this whole thing is just very weird. Very weird. Anyway, Laura Loomer leading the charge now, saying Trump should just fire Pam Bondi. She's going to get a job over at Fox News anyway. So you know how that all works out. She's on there all the time. Let's go to the phone lines on this open line Friday, 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa. Hey, Jerry, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. I am holding in my hand a Marxist children's book. It's 16 pages long. It promotes the life of Cesar Chavez. It's probably written for third, fourth graders, and it's got colors and pictures, and the guy was an illegal alien who started doing strikes and activism. He was associated with La Raza in the 60s, and I got this outside of an ice cream shop on a one of those free little book houses, like a doll house, and it's always packed full of children's books. And every time I go there, there's another Marxist children's book fomenting race and unfairness and social justice. And this one is a new one for me. It's called Cesar Chavez, the Farm Worker's Friend. And he talks about how unfair it is in America. And they have sad farm workers in California in the fields, and actual photographs from the 60s of these people marching. So it's sort of a mixture of striking and unions and children's art. So it's the hard part is I'm trying to get people to believe me that I keep getting a different Marxist book for children in this little dollhouse thing. And then the other hand, and once they do believe it, if they do, they just say, oh, well, they don't seem to care about it too much. But this is where your radical generation has come from. The thing was made in 2004, the book was, and it's got four words in its glossary: migrant, strike, union, and vineyards. And this has got to be written for third or fourth graders.
You know, it's so. Jerry, I'm not surprised by this. And we have an independent bookstore in the Memphis area, and they have a children's section that is loaded with all sorts of Marxist and communist propaganda like that. I remember, though, years ago, Jerry, you reminded me of a story I covered, and this is many, many years ago, and it was in Des Moines where a father got a hold of his middle school son's homework assignment, and there was a cartoon, and the whole thing was about Marxism and communism, and they had a little cartoon about, okay, this is what it looks like in the factory when the capitalists are in charge, and this is what it looks like when the communists are in charge, and or the workers are in charge. That's how they framed it. And it was really shocking because, you know, the capitalists are portrayed as chaining all of the workers together, and they're weeping while the fat cat factory owners, you know, have all the money.
Yeah, well, we've had a difficult problem in Des Moines when the governor and the red legislature said that the schools had to purge out all this activist offensive books, including the LGBTQ stuff. The very next day, the teachers got on the internet and email and social media and started saying, we're going to hunker down. We're not going to. They just resisted every effort to get these books out of the libraries. This was in Des Moines. And then just as kind of a sidebar to that, there's a Muslim community in Des Moines, and there was a few years ago an attempted beheading. Steve Dace interviewed that person. So, yeah, there's a book problem in Des Moines and in Iowa. Inside this book here, this little Marxist children's book, it's Holy Family School. Somebody wrote, so some church school around here, I don't know which one it is, has been sporting this sort of material. So, yeah, it's a problem. The school teachers, they refuse. They're just going to hide underground until this blows over, and then they're going to keep indoctrinating these children because they feel like it's more responsible for the kids than the parents.
No doubt about that. No doubt about it. Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. We're coming up on the top of the hour news here, but thank you for calling in. Have a great weekend. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Again, head on over to the website, todstearns.com. There are so many great, you know, things for you to take advantage of there. Many of you are signing up for my new Substack account. That's going great. And, of course, we've got free products, our podcast, and our newsletter as well. Be sure to take advantage of that. We try to give you great original content, and that's how you're going to have access to that. Of course, as always, free of charge. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up. This is The Todd Stearns Show.